Direct action at the point of production, one of the pillar IWW strategies to win better worker conditions, is not always easy to define, as illustrated at a packed session on the subject at the IWW conference. Since the IWW finds political lobbying futile and rejects political affiliations, writing letters to your congressional representative, even holding a sit-in at their office, may not necessarily constitute a direct action, because it is not at the place of production, unless, of course, you worked for them. No one wanted their name revealed at this session, but many were ready to reveal their stories of direct action.
Okay, I'm going to have to give one because I love this story. And some of y'all have probably heard it before if you've been to this workshop before. I work for the railroad. I'm a locomotive engineer. And the company I worked for originally was called Conrail, which is a freight company. It was actually a creation of the government. It was privatized, and then it was taken over by the Norfolk Southern and the CSX, affectionately known as the Nazi Southern. That's the side that I ended up going to. They brought all these locomotives up from Chattanooga in the South that were like boxes. These were like beat-up old locomotives, and the worst thing about them is they had really bad seats on them. So in this day and like ergonomically, people understand ergonomics. You got armrests, seats go up and down, swivel back, etc., etc. And on modern locomotives, they have all that. But on the Norfolk Southern, they didn't care enough about us to do anything about the seat. And even on the new locomotives, that these things cost like $2 million. And they got these seats that are toadstools. And it can go up and down like in increments of 3 inches. There's no armrests. And it's like this, the back, is that's what you sit on for 12 hours at a time. So we went into a state of revolt. This wasn't my idea. I started seeing seats along the right-of-way. Isn't that like one of those damn toadstool seats? And then there'd be a welder out on the switch, on a, what they call a switch frog, welding. And he was down on his knee pads on a seat. I'm like, wow, how are all these seats ending up along the right-of-way? Well, we'd get our power, our diesel locomotives from the roundhouse, what we call a roundhouse, and I'd go to check out. We'd have usually a freight train that has 3 or 4 or 5 engines all strung together. I'd go to check out the rear engine, and the seats were all gone. And the light went off. It sounds kind of slow. It's like guys are throwing these seats overboard. Well, at first, I was actually kind of shocked, and then I was absolutely delighted. So we all started doing it, and I would talk about it with everybody that I trusted and encourage them, of course, if they weren't already throwing seats overboard, to do so. The company couldn't do nothing about it. They had to give us better seats. What are they going to do? Put the lousy, you know, get new lousy seats, stick them in? We're going to throw them off again. And they couldn't catch us because our workplace is 200 miles long by 50 feet wide, and you can only supervise that kind of workplace so closely. So it was very exciting, empowering, effective, didn't take long at all the rest. If we had waited for the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers Safety Committee to get us better seats, we'll be waiting until we're all in the grave. So I was real happy with that.
I personally machine shop with very skilled workers, and they told me, you eat from these machines. Treat these machines like you would treat your family, you know what I mean? They believed it, that it's just the way that trade works. But I still disabled certain machines that were causing me to cough, you know, so I wouldn't have to run them, you know what I mean? Not permanently, but, and I don't think it's a positive step. Like, somebody who blows up a building is an individual terrorist. I believe that's direct action, but I don't believe that helps the cause of the working class. I don't believe that brings about a society that I want to live in, where working class people learn their own strength collectively. I still say it's direct action, but it's not positive.
I'm going to translate for
her.
I have a personal experience. It was 35 years ago that she's been in this country.
The boss
was decreasing their piece work every 3 months. And she was the only one that used to speak out, because she had been in that job for many years. And she demanded from the boss that they give him a 10-minute break to have a coffee break or something. And the workers were not allowed to speak, but she was the only one who said anything.
When
he decreased the price of a dozen of sweaters, the price that the boss was paying the workers for making peace, the piecework price, she spoke with all her co-workers.
And said,
tomorrow, let's not show up for work. Who's ready to not come to work tomorrow? But you'll have to keep your word.
And
nobody went to work the next day. Then the boss called her at home. And he says, Emma, what's going on? Have you made this? Did you make this happen that nobody showed up for work? And she said, what do you think?
He says,
you keep decreasing what you're paying us, so we have to do this. And you're treating us worse than animals. And you're sitting in your office savoring a nice coffee. And you want us to keep producing for you. And we keep producing and you keep giving us less and less. And the boss was also an undocumented worker. And they won. The price per piece went up, the pay per piece went up. And also they got the 10-minute break. And then he allowed people to get up and go and have a drink of water.
Very good. Anybody else, direct action on the job? I was in a warehouse work, driving tone motor loading and unloading tractor trailers, and the supervisor came up to me at 11 and said, I want you to start on this next truck. Well, the informal practices in the department were to stop work and you time your work, finish your truck at 11. So I started rapping with them and why, and this is out of the norm, and what's happening, and why are you picking on me, da-da-da-da-da. He says, well, you're on notice. We're going to discipline you. See you tomorrow. Take this up tomorrow. The next day I came in, they made me sit in the warehouse office all day for the whole shift. The next day I came in early, and I went around to all the drivers, and I said, well, I'm tired of sitting in that effing office. You guys got to slow down, go backwards, and take half amount of work. Get me out of there. Well, I was out of there in an hour.
I work in a nursing home, and they had decided that the MDSs are these worthless pieces of paper where you have to titrate out exactly how much all the cares are so they can charge these people. These people are already being overcharged to begin with. So, we only have so many hours in the day, and it was cutting into our patient care time doing these stupid papers. We all just sat around together one day and collectively decided that somehow MDSs are no longer a priority for us. And so everybody stopped doing them. And guess what? The only people who get in trouble are the administrators. Well, they're the ones who are going, you can't have overtime, and you're spending too much time talking with the residents and treating them like human beings. So guess who got in trouble? And guess who got informed that it's the administrator's job to do the MDS?
Well, very successful direct action.
Yeah.
The brother here had a point.
I worked at a Caterpillar turbine engine factory in San Diego, right on the Mexican border, and the workforce was very diverse: Filipino, Vietnamese, Anglos, Mexican Americans, Mexicans, Black folks. And we kind of understood that if racism was going to be a factor, it was going to really hurt us. So we actually discussed this in the shop stewards committee. Whenever there was any issue of racism, we took action. We tried to take action. Well, there was a cafeteria, and bear in mind, this is a pretty well highly skilled workplace where the conditions weren't that bad for us. But now the cafeteria was contracted out to this company called Aramark, and they had almost all Latino women who were not paid very well, and I don't believe they were treated very well, especially when I was a shop steward. I was approached by one of the tool and die makers, a Latino guy. He told me that he had just talked to one of the cafeteria workers who was in tears, and she had told him that she was no longer allowed to speak Spanish with her coworkers. And the reason was it was unprofessional, that the business language was English, and apparently some backwards complained that he thought somebody was talking about him because he didn't understand what they were saying. It wasn't English. It's just ridiculous. This translated to a policy where now a cafeteria couldn't speak their native language to fellow Spanish speakers. And it made some of them cry, right? So what we did was we talked to some of them and we boycotted. We organized a boycott of the cafeteria, and within 3 days, they lost so much business that they returned the policy allowing the cafeteria workers to speak their native languages. So we figured that was direct action because we cost them a lot of money.
That was participants in a direct action workshop at the IWW conference in Chicago in June. We're coming to you from the trenches.
Somebody rob the pension plan.